get down on this. Thank the light, everyone! I am just as likely to save the world as break it! And these are my wolf brothers.
You're well-rested, Gleeman.
I am your Steppen. No, put your axes away.
Steppen, you blew it.
Why?
Oh, so Justin has pointed out how many notes he took on this. I didn't take that many notes because I was enjoying watching it so much. And there was so... This is the first episode where I'm like, I've never taken this episode in. Like, I've seen it a couple times. Like, now I'm getting to the part of the show where I've seen it one, like, barely two times. And, like, because when we first did this, I was just like, oh, I guess, okay, yeah, we got to do a rewatch. It's fine. But that's because I've seen episode one so many times that it's just like, but now that we're past that, and then even two rang a couple bells, and now I'm at number four, I'm just like, oh, like, not only do I, like, I'm not even reminded of something. I'm like, I never fucking caught that. And there's so much in this that I never fucking caught.
I thought the same exact thing, Des, and it was the weirdest thing. I was like, did I fall asleep during this or something? I don't remember any of these conversations. And there's like that part where Steppen and Karenny are talking to each other. And they're talking about Moraine and Lan and how boring they are and how they never talk. And I was like, I don't remember any of this. What the heck?
I was like, are they putting outtakes in it now? Like, is this a different cut?
Wouldn't that be hilarious if they did sneak it in where it's like, I don't even remember any of this. I just, oh my gosh, what's going on?
Dude, my wife and I have watched the Friends DVDs so many times that when we watch it on HBO, we can see what, we know what jokes were cut out to make it short enough for syndication.
Wow.
Like, they'll cut to a different scene and her and I'll both look at each other and say the punchline that they cut out.
You know what's funny? Justin and I, we used to rent movies. He had this this convenience store that was the only place where he could rent movies. And so we would rent movies from there. We would rent Aliens all the time. We probably rented Aliens like three times.
Oh god, yeah, Jesus.
But they had the copy of Aliens that had the direct, it was like, that wasn't director's cut, but it had this scene,
extended cut,
but we didn't even realize it had the scene where they set up those guns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was like, I watched that movie like, I don't know, 2-3 years later. I was like, wait a second, I don't remember the part where they set up the automatic guns and they just run out of bullets in like 5 minutes because there's so many aliens.
Yeah.
Do you remember that, Justin? You probably don't even remember that.
I don't remember that.
Well, because that's not even the like long, long cut. Because then, you know, eventually they release like the 3-hour cut where you hang out with I called them communists. That's not right. The
settlers?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The communists. The colonists.
The colonists.
Thank you.
They could be communists. We don't know.
They could be communists as well. We don't know.
There's a couple of juicy colonists that need saving from juicy colonist daughters that need saving from the aliens.
Dude, I think those movies must have scared me because I blocked them out of my
really?
Mind.
Oh man, I love Aliens.
Well, and then like I remember like watching like stumbling across Prometheus one night, just like, oh, what is this? And I'm like, this seems a lot like Alien. Like, because it fucking is.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of a prequel.
Bishop's a fucking asshole.
Fucking Prometheus is awesome. Love that movie. And I love episode 4, The Dragon Reborn. We are smack dab in the middle of our rewatch right now. We're rewatching season 1, getting prepared for season 2, giving each episode their own due time. Like, have you guys even doubled up watching any? Like, do you, like Jeremy, have you had to watch like 3 and 4 back to back?
No.
So you wouldn't forget?
No, it's my dad's 70th birthday coming up and we're going to have a birthday party at my house. So we're kind of cleaning up the outside and getting everything all ready, getting the decorations set up. And I look up and I'm like, oh crap, it's like 6:45. I got to get to the house and rewatch this thing because if I don't, I'm going to be sitting here while you and I are talking and finishing the end of the episode. So
I was almost going to have to do that too. I had about 20 minutes left and I was sitting here and cooked dinner and me and Lisa were sitting here listening to some music and just chilling. I was like, man, I got to kind of speed through this. And I did. I made it with 2 minutes to spare.
Oh, very nice.
I wish you could do it like Netflix does. They have like the fast watch. You can like speed up the watching. Like, I'm going to set it
like
on
NFL
speed.
Network, the game condensed version or whatever.
Oh, that would be great.
I was so not disappointed. Like, so far, this is the episode that was the most cut down for the fan edit, I think. And like, we talked about it before we started watching. I was like, oh God, am I just going to be so mad every time I have to sit through a scene that was cut out for all the right reasons? Not this episode, man. A lot was cut out of this rightfully, you know, for what the editor was trying to do. But I loved every second of these conversations. And I think it's because of all the work we've done on this podcast. Like, so many, when I first watched these, there's so many words and terms and references that it's just my brain just can't take it. And like, now that we've talked for a year, I'm like, oh, like now the conversation is more natural to me instead of all this fucking fantasy gobbledygook that I just can't grab onto.
Yeah, I noticed in this episode, they snuck in a bunch of lore.
Yeah.
And it's kind of subtle, but they did get it in there, like talking about what Aja's do what. Like when Alana is talking about, you know, being a green, she's like, I could never only have one warder. Whoa, so that means a green's only can have more than one warder. And then she says that, you know, they're the battle Aja and all that stuff. And there's a lot of cool little things that they, but then we'll get to this later. But yes, there's a lot of lore stuff, but there's some stuff where I'm like, oh, they screwed that up already. Why would you do? They set up something and then they totally went against it like a few minutes later. And it drove me insane.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yeah, we were talking about that last episode. There was a few things, too. It was just like, yeah, you guys are kind of contradicting it right now.
So I figured out what the eighth spoke is, Jeremy.
The eighth spoke?
Jeremy's disdain.
In the wheel, it's the Black Aja.
Oh.
No, because the spokes are the wheels of the age, the ages.
But there's seven spokes in it because there's seven Ajas. Is there seven ages too?
There's seven ages too, yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Well, they're going into the eighth, then there'll be another spoke on it. When they go into the eighth age, they'll finally...
When we get to the end, you get your eighth spoke for the Black Aja, for this age, all of that stuff.
All of the, yes, everything comes to an eight.
Should we know who Ilusha is?
No, that's one of my questions. I'm assuming it's some either, you know, Loghain's mom or sister or something. I was just thinking, like, when this episode starts, you know, you've seen some channeling, but when you get to see Loghain channeling, it's pretty epic. And like, when you could see the difference between the male and the female, it's pretty good. And he is more than a little mad. I mean, not bad, but you can see he's definitely been channeling long enough to figure out how to do stuff, whether it's instinctive or not. And he's obviously strong. So it was just kind of like, a Perrin moment, if you will.
Yeah. And again, I'm of the opinion, like, why are we wasting time on this when we could be exploring more of our characters, our hero characters? Why do we have to see what Loghain does?
Really? You didn't like the cold opening in Loghain? I thought that was nope. Great. That was awesome.
I just thought it's superfluous. Why do we need it?
Because you need to know. Loghain needs to be part of the kind of Dragon Reborn conversation. And I'll get to that later.
And they needed somebody, like, who from the book, who would have taken his place to show off all these powers that we get to see, to get a chance in episode four?
Rand does.
Well, what a dragon is, you know what I mean? And also,
who's Rand going to fight, though? Like, you know, is an army going to come after him? So we can, you know, I mean, we get to see a bunch of Ajas. We get to see some of them die, basically. So we get to see, you know, Nynaeve do something fucking badass. And like, what other character? Like, they kind of had to force a badass in there.
I just don't think that it was needed. Like, you just didn't need any of that. You could have, we sacrificed this whole episode basically and we lost all the more Matt, more Rand, more Perrin, more Egwene. We lost all of that because
and I didn't care because this episode was so awesome.
No, it wasn't a bad episode. It wasn't a bad episode.
Well, I think that the stuff with Leander and the guy at the beginning in the cold open and watching him kind of talk to somebody who's not there, and then Loghain kind of talking to somebody who's not there, I think that's just foreshadowing. So you know, when Rand starts talking to somebody, you know who he's talking to and what it means.
Do you think that they're going to do it the same way when Rand starts talking to somebody with the black swirly thing he's talking in his ear?
I think it'll be similar. Yeah, I think it'll be similar.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because he basically has, I mean, by the end, he's having full-on conversations with Luz Theron.
So yeah, let me just hammer on this point a little bit so Justin doesn't miss anything. I don't know. I think, because, I mean, you've got to split. You've got four different groups going in four different directions, and you're not going to be able to give everybody exactly 15 minutes. It's just, stories just never work out that way. And so I think putting the burden of the story on the false dragon so we can learn more of the lore of, I mean, you know, the Aes Sedai and the dragon and the Sidar and Sidine are such a big part that I'm fine putting the other people that are on, as Justin put it, the walking simulator. You know, and we get to see the meaningful part of Matt and Rand. You know, they don't leave that. I always see plenty of them. And, you know, and Perrin and Egwene, like, I think we saw just enough of them with the Tinkers. Like, I don't really want to hang out with, as much as I do like the Tinkers. Like,
there's already been more than enough time spent with the Tinkers. I just think a lot of this, like you said, a lot of this episode is lore stuff. You know, like I said, I really think that, therefore, I think it will be similar to, I mean, how else are you going to show that than Rand having a, you know, you're not going to show like Luce Theron, you know, like Tupac style hologram next to him. You got to do something cooler than that.
That would be cool, though.
That would be cool.
I would be all for that.
But only if it's Tupac.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Only if it's really Tupac, though. Tupac has Luce Theron.
Like they are in the last, in the last episode where he watches himself like fight Ishmael in the past, like that. But it's just right there, like.
And Tupac's just in there. All eyes on me.
How long will they mourn me?
Machiavelli.
Yeah, the whole time at the beginning, I was just like, oh, God, why are we wasting all this time on Logan? And then I look at him like, those costumes are really cool. Man, they put a lot of time into those costumes. That dagger's pretty cool, too.
Well, I just like them coming into the cave where they're keeping them. It's like so epic when they're just coming in. It's like, oh, shit, like what's going on here?
And it's just false dragon this and false dragon that. That's all we've heard. And so to see, you know, what a false dragon can do, you know, because it's like, well, he's a false dragon. Just fucking, I don't know, kill him or something. He's a fake. Like, who needs him? But like when you see him like doing his thing, it's like, oh, yeah, I'd follow this guy, whether, you know, whether by force or fun. You know, let's get behind this dude and see what happens.
Force or fun?
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I hope, hopefully, because I know that I think they have said that Logan is going to play a bigger part in the series than in the book series, or at least earlier. So I think he's going to be around in season 2 and 3, probably.
That's awesome, because that dude, the actor, is awesome.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
He was really good. I like Moraine kind of flexing when she walks into the. She kind of starts talking or whatever, and she's just giving you clues on the manic. She's like, I'm strong enough to take the shield for a while or whatever, you know, and feel like it gives you kind of, I think they're trying to kind of lay out the magic mechanics in this a little bit. Like he figures, like how he figures out how to, he like, he's about to, you know, he could kill the King of Gildan, but then he heals him. It's like, I don't imagine Loghain runs around doing a lot of healing, you know, but he just kind of instinctively does it.
Yeah.
So it's like, is that a product of the madness or just kind of like, you know, like, naive, just like, oh shit, I figured it out. And I like, again, I mean, I harped on it the first part, but the visualization of the shields, how like even like when Leandrin kind of like releases it, she kind of like, ugh, like she kind of like,
did you see her web dissipate?
Mm-hmm.
yeah
like when she lets go, you can see Leandrin's web going away. That was so cool.
So I think they're trying to bring you on kind of slowly as far as the magic mechanics. I think it's going to get, like I said, by the end of this episode, they're doing some crazy shit with the power, and it's like, whoa. It's exactly what I wanted to see.
I love how Moraine has to do a for her shield, though. She has to do like a full-on kata, where she's like, oh. I was waiting for her to ki-ai, and she'd be like, yeah, shield.
Yeah, it's funny that like she does exaggerate her motions, but it's not that direction hasn't been given to all of the Aes Sedai.
No.
Like that is something, I don't know if that was a direction given to her.
Did you see how tight her fingers were when she was doing it? She's all like, she's trying to like, judo chop, judo chop.
They had the best line, fighting Sidine is like trying to hold a cat in a bath.
Yeah, that was funny too.
That was so great.
That was a line in this? Oh God, I didn't miss that. That's good.
Yes.
It was a lot. Was it Alana that said? I think it was Alana.
It was. Alana said it.
I think it was Alana.
Yeah.
I like Alana too. I like that actress that plays Alana. She's pretty good.
Yeah, she's good.
They give Moraine and Lan are such, like, I don't even know how to call them. Like, they're not the badasses. Like, they're definitely the ones that aren't around. So it's easy to talk shit about them.
Well, they're like enigmas because everybody's just kind of like, they kind of talk shit, but they're all kind of like, what are they doing? Like, what are they up to? Like, they're kind of badass. They're boring, but I mean, like, they got to be cool kind of, right? Like, it's like the mystery, you know? So
totally.
Well, and then you get like the step in the land, kind of like the training. They're all like Tai Chi. They were trying to practice tantric orgasms, in case you were wondering.
Oh, and I.
No touching.
No touching.
No touching.
like, they're definitely, like, just kind of aroused by their bond. Uh-oh. I broke Justin.
In Role Models, when Jane Lynch is, like, trying to tell them how it's appropriate to have the kids.
I fucking watched that movie 2 days ago.
She's like, this is an appropriate hug. And, like, hugs the kid. And like, this is not. And, like, hugs him from behind. And, like, the dude that plays Stifler, I can never remember his name. He's like, well, obviously we're not supposed to butt fuck these kids. God damn it. That movie's fucking funny. You know what I used to have for breakfast? Cocaine. I'm not going to go into details, but I used to suck his dick for drugs. You're just like, Jesus, Jane Lynch. God, she's funny.
You know what I did after that? Cocaine.
Cocaine. So just keep that in mind. So huge tangent. Sorry, I just made me think of that, and I'm like sort of crying, laughing. Like,
no, one thing I was like, every time Stepan was on screen, I was like, they shouldn't have killed him off. He's a great character.
Thank you.
Right? Kill off anybody else.
Until he did the axe thing, then I was like, I'm glad he died. Because then that was a dumb move.
Oh, yes, yes. Totally. I was thinking about when they were practicing, but you're right. I totally wrote that down. I was like, I said, fuck Stepan. Like, I forget. This is all his fault. Like, a warder has to have more control than that. But I guess if your bond breaks.
I mean, they're probably trying to lay the groundwork for, like, the madness of the bond, you know? I get it, I suppose. You do something that's totally out of character. And that's, like, the whole conversation about, like, with, like you said, Stepan and Corrine, they talk about how Moraine and Lan, you know, keep secrets. They're just laying that groundwork for how, even though they're Aes Sedai, how separate factions, I think, can be doing their own thing and nobody else knows. Well, and like, they start talking about the trial thing again, and Leandrin's just like, well, we should just do it. And they're like, no, dude, you're a Red. You should be reminding me of the protocols that we do before, you know, we go through that process.
Yeah, how do you not know she's...
Oh, she knows. She doesn't care. It's like you could see the zeal in her eyes. I think she, you know, her motivations are...
No, how does what's-her-name not know that Lorraine is a fucking bad seed?
Lorraine.
Lorraine. You mean Leandrin?
I just call her that all the time. Because I always say Moraine and then Lorraine.
She say Laverne, then.
I was going to say Schlemiesel, Schlemazel.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking Haasen Pfeffer Incorporated. Yeah, it's... It really is, because I'm starting to get control. I'm starting to accept the fact that nobody from this part of the world has any idea what anyone from that part of the world is doing. But then you got all these women in the White Tower, and they have no fucking clue what's going on the other side of the tower.
They live in the same house, and they don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's fucking just, I mean, the world broke, the tower's broken, everything's fucking broken.
It gets worse.
I love seeing, because we're going to go back to that castle, right, where the opening battle was. Isn't that a Gaelden?
Yeah, you don't ever go back there.
That's not where we go back to.
We don't ever really go back to Gaelden. I think that's why.
Well, you never know.
That's true. They could, since they have a great, yeah, they could reuse it.
As Jeremy's so fond of saying, they can do whatever the fuck they want.
That's true. They can do whatever they want. They clearly have.
Do we think the Tinkers smell woodsy?
I think they smell like weed and patchouli oil. That's what they...
And just a faint hint of nut fog.
Yeah, just a question.
Definitely patchouli oil. I'm looking at them right now.
Like dirt that's been fucked by a hobo.
I'll tell you one thing, though. Aram is a gigantic turd, and I can't stand that guy.
Oh, God. You know what? They picked a good actor for him, because I don't like that guy, and I don't like Aram in the books.
Yes.
I want to punch them both in the face. It's pretty convenient that the Tinkers are going to Tar Valon, too. Like, oh, well, that's where we're going. No way. Can we catch a ride?
Here's the one thing that really ticked me off. So Moraine says, I know that we can't see their weaves, but she's talking about Loghain. Like, do we know that we can't see the men's weaves, right?
Right.
And then when Loghain is, like, trying to break out.
She talks about how powerful he is. Yeah.
No, when he's trying to break out, and he's, like, shooting a Sidene missile at her.
Yeah.
Corinne. She clearly, she looks over, sees it's going towards Moraine, and pushes her out of the way. So clearly she could see it.
Well, I think she just knew he was attacking.
She seems like she could see it. My thoughts are like, maybe he makes it almost into like a...
She does like the double check. Like the, she like looks at him, looks at Moraine. No. Looks at him, looks at Moraine. It's coming. Yes, seriously. It's the no.
I feel like he just made like a projectile out of the bars is what I thought.
No, I don't think so.
Because he just kind of melted them down. I don't know.
No, because they turn into like...
That thing just blows away.
Ashes.
Yeah.
They just turn into ashes. You can see it going up into the air. So either he made something out of...
It's just Sidene Project style.
So either it's something that looks exactly like Sidene and he made a projectile that he could see, that she could see for some reason, or she could see the weave.
It wasn't a weave. It was just a thing. It was just air, a weave of air. Damn it.
What was the one who threw the, Jesus Christ, who blocked it, but she got hit?
Corelli. Corinne. Is it Corinne?
That was Corinne. Corinne.
Corelli?
Corinne. Corinne said,
did she have a wound anywhere on her? Like, where was there an actual hole?
She got staked, like, in the heart, basically.
It pins her to the wall.
Yeah. Like a spear almost.
It might have been. I wonder if he did pick up the burnt cane.
No, because it dissipates after she, like, falls down. Yeah, it's gone. They talk something about women false dragons. That's some dumb stuff. I didn't like that. They talk about women false dragons.
Women false dragons?
Yeah, she's like, false dragons, male or female.
Which makes no sense.
I thought you guys mentioned that it actually...
The whole point is that the dragon is going to channel Sidene and go mad and break the world in. That's the whole fucking fear.
That's why they're afraid.
That's why everybody's afraid. If it was a female, they wouldn't give a shit. Sweet, no one's going to go crazy and kill everybody. We can just fix it anyway. It makes zero sense.
There's never been a Sidar wielding... male or a Sidene, like it's impossible. Like, even though it's powerful Aes Sedai in the world.
We're gonna go with maybe, and we can't talk about that right now.
See, now we're getting somewhere. Because if you're the fucking dragon, if you're the fucking one, who cares what you got downstairs? You're gonna be moving some power.
No, Des, come on.
That's not why, but good try.
That's yes.
It's so cute when he tries and he thinks he's got it. The baby. Check the baby. Get the baby. God damn it, Desmond. I'm bless you.
When you're the dragon, you're going to move some power.
You're going to move some shit. Doesn't matter what you got down there. You're going to move some shit. It's like, oh, Desmond. I mean, really good try, but no.
Oh, you're so cute.
I got it. This podcast is over. I've read a book and a half. I've seen.
I've got this whole thing figured out. It doesn't matter.
I'm over it.
You guys are stupid and stupid.
Call me when it's different. You guys can just call each other once a week. You don't need to record it anymore.
Listen, I've been going to karate for a while. I got my first stripe on my belt. I'm pretty sure I got it down.
I'm good.
I can take Bruce Lee. It's definitely take Ralph Macchio. That's right. They're the same guy, right? TV's not the same. I don't know if you know this. Tobey Maguire, not actually Spider-Man.
What?
It's the truth.
What about that other dude?
Yeah, Andrew Garfield is, though.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he's totally. What?
Yeah. Nope, not him. Not the black guy. Nope.
Man.
Not the kid. Mr. Stark.
Not Miles Morales.
I hate all of this.
It is Miles Morales.
Oh, no, you're like, no. Miles Morales is Spider-Man.
That is him. Yeah, that's right.
Are you guys watching She-Hulk by any chance?
No.
No.
I've been enjoying it anyways because it's really fun to watch with the kid. And like I said, Kelly watches everything Marvel. But it is so fucking growing on me.
That's so funny that Kelly likes everything Marvel.
I thought you were going to say so bad or something.
Oh,
like that.
No.
It's growing on me. I love it.
They break the fourth wall. Like, she's always talking to the audience. It's so weird and so dumb. But she said one thing today where she was like, she was, long story short, she was trying to prove that she owns the name She-Hulk. She's like, well, Thor didn't have to copyright his name and Doctor Strange didn't have to copyright his name. And he's like, well, you just so happen to pick two Avengers who use their real name, so I don't have anything for you.
I don't know what to say. And there was already a Hulk, so you know you are appropriating it a little bit.
Well, she's his cousin.
I like how Dez is talking like he was talking to her today, and she was explaining it to him personally. He's like, "Well, she was telling me."
Yeah, she's his cousin, so she's cool. She's a Hulk. She's in the family.
Oh, it's okay. She's a Banner. It's all right.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to think of more specific stuff to talk about. I just, because I fucking love this episode so much, but it really is just all the talking.
Yeah, I was like, I'll read mine. I was like, a lot of lore in this episode. Aram is a turd. The Tinkers have a Rumspringa? ?
Oh, thank you. That's the word. I wrote down walkabout. I knew walkabout was wrong.
Yeah.
But Rumspringa was what I was thinking about. Hell yeah. Tinkers totally have Rumspringa.
Go out into the world and see if you like it. And then go out among the English and then come back.
Go see how the other half live. Those tyrants. I mean, the Tinkers, they live, I mean, they're not supposed to stab anybody. Other than that, they're
pretty open.
They're chilling.
They're doing their thing. Like, they're good.
Yeah, they're cool, except they're, you know, they're all vegetarians because they won't kill anything.
Yeah, all they eat is root vegetables. Blech.
Yeah. Blech.
Well, if someone else kills it, I can eat it, right? I just can't.
Nope.
If I'm on Rumspring.
That's Halal, not Tinker.
Oh, balls. I always get those two mixed up. I wrote down, one of my favorite lines in this was, you can join the men by the fire if you promise not to shove me in it.
not to shove anybody in it.
That's shove anybody in it.
Oh, he says anybody?
Yeah, he shoves anybody. He's like, you can come join us by the fire as long as you promise not to shove anybody in it.
Oh, my God. I just loved it. Like, she was technically in, well, I forget that she was invited to the women only tent.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that she was invited to an Aes Sedai, she could either hang out with the Aes Sedai or hang out with the men by the tent. She's just like, I'm hanging out with these dudes
hang out with the warders.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Well, she gets invited to the other orgy too. So
they give you a good understanding of the warders and how the bond works there too. That was like another part of the lore that they kind of threw out there this episode, just talking about how it's like a really close. Also talking about how in the last episode, you know, the warders can feel what the Aes Sedai can feel. But then when Lan says, I shouldn't have drank because you get real, what does he say? You get real emotional when I drink.
Yeah. That was so great.
Get emotional when I slap you around after I drink. Jesus. Well, I just think there was a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of lore. The power, they show the power, the uses of the power, the way they knot it down on the shield. Rand does his whole tavern mind trick on the guy. He was like, no, you're cool. You don't want to shoot us. And he's like, yeah, I don't want to. That's fine. It's the first one where he's like, oh, okay. Just a lot of stuff like that. I mean, they're cramming a lot in, but there was a lot of it. It was done well in this episode. I thought it was awesome. And then when you get to see them using the power with the warders ducking out of the way and getting to see it kind of full screen, just like throwing people around, it's pretty cool.
The one that I really liked the most, honestly, which is the simplest one, was when her wards go off and it sounds like birds. And then you see the little flashes fire. Oh, that is like almost word for word in the book.
It's what you picture it as when you're reading it.
Not the ones where they kept blowing, like where she was making a trail blown up from the ground.
No, no. When they're just sitting in the cave, when they breach the outer area, she's like, whoop.
You know, Lan and Nynaeve are out and they hear those weird birds. And all of a sudden he like goes, what? And takes off running. That's the wards, like the audio cue of the wards. But then when Corelli, whatever her name is sitting there.
Kareen.
And then the little flashes of light like go off by her head. That's like literally word for word almost in the book. That's what it looks like. That was very cool.
Well, and then later on, the Two Rivers scouts and stuff, they start using bird calls to communicate where they are and stuff.
Oh.
Which is also cool.
And different bird calls mean different things, which is really cool. I was like, I bet he had to have taken that from a real world example, right?
Yeah, had to.
In somebody has done that before. American Indians or
Apaches or some shit like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you catch that they were at the Grinwells farm?
Oh, I didn't know that was a Grinwells.
Else is the little girl talking to him with the Brigitte doll. So it's a different character, but
whose farm is this? Just a one family or is this a clan?
Yeah, so in the book there's Matt and Rand stop at this one farm and there's this girl who's like their age and she kind of falls in love with Rand.
Oh, yeah.
Remember her?
I read that, right? That was in the first book.
First book. Yeah,
okay.
First book.
Yeah, I do remember
she
that.
Ends up going to the White Tower for a little bit, too.
Oh.
So she comes back in the second and third book, too. I think the second and third book.
Ooh.
For a little bit, yeah.
Rand gets the lady.
Yeah, he does.
They all love Rand. Without spoiling everything.
You're talking to the wrong guys.
I know. I like a Rom. I kind of like him.
Oh, okay.
Are you guys just tired of his bullshit or will I definitely hate him after a while because of shit he does?
Well,
yes.
I would say probably, but if you don't like him, you don't dislike him now, maybe not. I mean, we both are like, oh, Nynaeve's a breath of fresh air compared to the books. And you're like, I can't even stand her. So you're coming from a different angle, you know, and I just really like that the gal who's playing her, the actress.
It's probably just because you know more about him. Like he thinks he's fucking slick. You know, he tries to come off as fucking slick, and that's how he is in the books. And it's just like he knows he's good looking, and you know, blah 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 blah. And He's just like, he's missed. He's like, it's all about the chase for him. And but then like he ends up, it's, yeah, he's annoying.
I just like it for anyone who like breaks the tension a little bit. Like he's kind of a Matt in that way for me right now. Like Matt's better, but just the like kind of shitty offhanded comment, you know, like, oh, I heard that same shit growing up when I lost all my toys and I'm still waiting, you know, just kind of always throwing in his little.
Yeah, fucking shut up.
See, if Matt had said that, you'd be like, yeah, Matt, high five.
No, dude, Matt doesn't cry about toys. He's not stupid.
He would have said it in a self-deprecating way. It made you laugh.
He'd have been like, man, my parents wouldn't let me gamble when I was sick.
Or no, he would have been, I got caught by my parents gambling when I was six, and then I had to clean out all the stalls, and then I went back and gambled more.
I stole my dice back.
He'd say, I broke every one of my toys just to see if they would come back, just to prove you wrong.
That's right.
You're a grown-ass man. Why are you still worried about your toys? Shut up. Learn a trade.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
He has a trade. He fixed pots. Come on. What are you talking about?
I ain't seen him fix no pots. So far, I just see him go fucking flouncing around and annoy the shit out of people. I love how he's dancing with Egwene, too, and she like is like smiling at Perrin and dancing, and then like Perrin walks off and she's like, what, you don't want to see me like grinding up on this dude? You're my friend's lady. No.
And that's another thing. So if we're trying to set up this love triangle thing, right, with Rand and Perrin and Egwene, then why wouldn't he be jealous of Aaron?
He is.
I don't think he acted like he was being jealous.
You're making a fool of yourself, Egwene. You're whoring around. Maybe he was just generally disgusted by her loose ladiness.
He's like, I want you to fuck around with me, but don't fuck around with my friend with that asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
I just didn't come across to me like he was like, I'm upset because you're dancing with some guy.
And well, it's hard to tell on Perrin's face what he's thinking.
Maybe if he closed his mouth more, we'd probably be able to understand.
It could be so many things. Yeah. He's hungry, thirsty. Sad.
Jealous.
Yeah, just Tom's whole conversation with the Gleeman have a silly name because, you know, we'd be a lot scarier. And then he has his conversation about Owen with Rand and just more lore, more informing on Tom and like why he's even sticking around with these two kids. Why the fuck would he want to stick around with these two kids?
And unfortunately, we get to see them muck out a stall instead of on Bail Doman's ship and learning how to be Gleeman. That would have been fun.
Rand climbing up the mast.
Yeah.
So we lost all of that to get some Loghain and then to get to the beginning of what's it, episode 5.
And some really cool channeling fighting.
Yeah, I guess. I guess.
Yeah, they had to set up that. They had the last scene of this episode was amazing and it required a lot of setup so that we knew what the fuck was going on. And in that setup, we got a lot of lore. And a lot of cool stuff that is gonna pay off.
But you know what you didn't get? Bail Doman.
We didn't get Bail Doman.
Son of a bitch.
We're gonna get a lot. That's all right. Season 2.
We do not be getting Bail Doman. Anything in the dream sequence from you guys? Do you think anything reading into that or just the normal shit? Perrin sad about killing his chick and then Rand's afraid of Egwene or anybody else getting hurt by Balsamon.
Matt having blood on his hands.
Yeah, well, I think it's because Matt's murdering someone right then. No, actually, we went over that. Matt didn't murder anybody.
So why did the Fade kill that? Why wouldn't the Fade have come for them? I mean, obviously, if they're dead, we don't have a show. So that's part of the reason.
Good question.
And why would that? I mean, I guess Matt, because of the dagger, he's kind of attracted to the dark arts right now in general. So maybe that's why he woke up and went towards the Fade because of the dagger. But...
So I think that the Fade could be attributed to they at this point are still trying to take them alive.
Oh.
They want them alive. They want the dragon alive.
Right.
And so if you're just going to kill anybody who could possibly help them or even tell them that they're around, that they came through a certain way, that would be my only reasoning for the Fade not killing them first, other than, you know, show. And also, I think Matt is awoken, yes, by the dagger because they talk about how much Eridol hated the shadow so much that they turned on themselves. And so it's like anything shadow related even is afraid of Shadow Logoth and stuff like that. So I think whatever Matt's possessed by is kind of inherently just going after Shadowspawn. If it's nearby, it's like, nope.
I think it's just for them to set up that, oh, did Matt kill him? That was the only thing.
Yeah.
That was the only reason.
Yeah, that's true.
It was for show purposes. It has nothing to do with, like, is it logical?
Yeah, I'm giving way too much credit for the story.
Yeah, well, if you're only watching the show, because they got to, you know, they've got to a little bit make the show just for people to enjoy that. And after the conversation that Tom and Rand had, it would make perfect sense to try to give the audience a jolt that Matt is bad.
Yeah.
Well, I remember watching it the first time I watched it, I was like, why did Matt kill all those people? I don't get it. I didn't. Even after the Fade shows up, I was like, Fatty was like, no, the Fade killed him. I was like, oh, yeah, duh.
Duh.
That makes way more sense.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the evil killing machine that was overhiding in the shadows? Yes, that's the one that killed him.
Oh, that one. Okay.
That guy.
I get it. Well, that's one of the things they definitely got right, like the way that the Fade moves from the shadow to shadow and how fast they are. And like, I thought that was really, really well done.
I know we've given it plenty of time, but since we're talking about this episode, that fucking final battle is so fucking rad.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool.
It's really the way that Loghain breaks the web is awesome. The way they try to get it back.
People running down the hills has like a kind of a more Lord of the Rings feel to it with all the actors. It's really kind of cool. And then, yeah, I totally agree with that. And like sometimes when you get battles that are too big, it can feel very choreographed. And I really like, even if it was just something as simple as them kind of retreating a little bit, so they could get a little space and then channel. I felt like that added a realistic like element to it, like how you might actually, if you were fighting with magic and having people protect you, you would have to fall back and then, you know, boom, boom, and then move and stick and move all the time. I think I thought it was really cool to see. I hope we get to see more of that. Like, because that's what like has happened in the last battle all over the place. And it's just like, it's fucking really cool.
And they did this. I mean, and you can tell, I think part of the reason this scene is like this is because of COVID. And I think this scene benefited from that. I think like there, it probably would have been a little more closed in or a little more hand to hand or something like that. But I think everyone's like really spread out, you know, to keep too much contact. And I think it was for the better.
Yeah. I think it worked out good. I got a question. Do you guys think that Liandrin let the shield lapse on purpose?
I had the same fucking question. I was watching it really close, hoping I would find like a tell, like, duh, obviously there she is letting go. All I can say is maybe, because they don't make it super obvious, but with all the shit she was talking, she obviously wanted to.
Yeah, that was their plan. Like, oh, if he gets loose, well, I guess we can gentle him then without having to break the three O's.
Yeah, especially with his army already there. They're like, well, we can't have the army. We can't deal with the army and Loghain. That's going to fuck us up.
Well, and I love how he's just like, I'm ready to murder. And then him and Moraine are going to have a little chat.
Yeah, totally.
He's like, I killed that green bitch. We should talk for a minute. Well, I don't know why he sounds like Count Chocula.
Yeah, and I love the, like, what you have is a pinprick against a sun, and then right after that, Nynaeve fucking...
Do you think that she really believes that, or if that's just some Aes Sedai bullshit?
I think she believes that the real dragon is going to make them all look like Bicklighters.
I suppose that's probably true, yeah. Bicklighters. Totally. Well, and then you just have, unfortunately for us, like, you know, what did you think when you first saw Lan get throat chopped? Were you like, oh shit?
I was, because I mean, I had just finished Game of Thrones when I started watching this. So I was like, well, if you're going to keep up with Game of Thrones, you're going to have to kill people that we fall in love with. That's just going to be part of, you know, television from now on. So the moment it happened, I believed it. And then I wasn't surprised.
You thought he was dead?
I did.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, just because, like I said, it's become, you know, kind of, you know, part of TV now to kill off major characters and keep you guessing and all that. I mean, I should have known better, knowing that there's 15 books. Like, there's no way that fucking Robert Jordan killed off someone he spent 800 pages writing. Like, it's a little more time consuming on the page to just really dig into a character. And he's like, ah, I'm done writing about
it's like having your D&D character die. You're like, no.
Just like, Fuck, I gotta re-roll. Thank the light, everybody, and thank you for listening to our dumb show where we talk about the Wheel of Time sometimes.
Who are we kidding? No one's listening.
Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parsailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parsailman. Send questions or comments directly to me at thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. If you're looking for anything else to listen to while you wait for the next excellent episode of this show, which will be our rewatch of episode season 1, number 5, go to whatsoundsawesome.com and check out all the fantastic shows there. We got a new fitness and nutrition show launching very soon. Get in on the ground floor of join Time Pop for our Back to the Future celebration coming up on October 21st. And remember, you can't outrun a fade.
I'm not very fast, so I definitely couldn't do that. May you always find water and shade. And take a nap, y'all.
After you hashtag Billy Zane as Asmodian, now we have a second. It's hashtag
Dave Coulier as Dashiva.
As Dashiva, yes. Hashtag Dave Coulier as Dashiva.
Peace, favor your sword nerds. Irregardless. Oh, cut that out. Cut it out. Cut it out. Cut it out.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
You go plow your field. I'm going to go plow your mom. I'm out of here. I got to go.